Okay.
It's okay, honey. Just flip it around. It's all right.
Okay, now we'll start.
Okay, so we're starting. Hey, good morning. My name's Mark Vaughn. I know many of you. I'm pastor of Genesis Church here in Honey Pass, South Carolina. Normally, this time on a Sunday, this little sanctuary is filled with laughter and filled with the sound of kids. This past week, the board and I reached a decision that we were going to have to cancel Sunday services for the next two Sundays and then reevaluate the situation with the coronavirus, and we have so many people that are vulnerable to it. And this is our very first Facebook Live service. Please give us feedback. You can put it on this post, or you can put it on, or you can instant message me, because if this is a way that we can reach more people for God, then we'd like to continue this after we start back meeting in person, which hopefully is going to be very, very soon. I want to tell you a little bit about Genesis, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to go through our announcements and then deliver our message. Normally we have music along with this, but y'all don't want me to sing or try and play anything. Genesis Church has been here in the Honey Path community for 10 years. My wife Lisa and I were among the first class of members, and then the founding pastor actually married us. And we started off at the Walking Center over across there, the town hall. We would rent it, and then we've been in our present location for 5 or 6 years. I've been pastor about 3 years. I was called to ministry a little late in life, but just glad to be here, so glad to be part of this family. And everyone that's listening that's part of the Genesis family, Lisa and I, we love you, we miss you, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we lift up this land right now and all the people in it. Father, these are trying times. There's so many sick out there. There are so many people that are just struggling financially, physically. There are so many tired people working at the hospitals, behind the wheel of the semi-trucks, farmers, store workers. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, please renew them, renew their strength, renew their immune system. Father, please help this sickness to pass by. Father, help us to remember that we are your church, the people, not the walls. Addresses can change. The church is made up of people, not brick and mortar. Father, as you told Ezekiel, I looked for someone to stand in the gap and pray for this land, that I might heal it. Father, we are standing in the gap, and we are praying for this land, that you may heal it and bring us closer to you. And Father, as we go through and the people hear this message, let them hear your words and not mine. And Father, just help them to carry the light of your words out into this dark world, because Father, we need that light more than anything. And your light, the light of Jesus, is the only thing that can get rid of this darkness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, that's a picture of our church, and one of the best ways I can describe our church, we're broken people going through this life together. We believe strongly in prayer, in God's word, and our relationship with Jesus. And we believe that a church is a hospital filled with the sick and the broken, and it's not to be a museum where perfect statues and paintings are on display. Going to go through some of our announcements here. Our next board meeting is going to be April 26th, and this is something that we do. This is something I got a slide out of context, so just bear with me here. We have actually bought some land about 4.5 miles from where we're currently located at in Honey Path. God's blessed us, and we've been able to pay off the land. And we, at our board meeting last week, we talked about our next steps. So for everyone that's in our congregation, all of our visitors, everything, just please be patient, pray, and God's going to get us to our building. One step at a time. This is what I wanted to show you. One thing that we do, we have some amazing children, some amazing teachers that work with our kids. And every week we snap a couple pictures of them as they're doing their lesson and they're doing their arts and crafts. And we end up being on the big, screen. And so,
we're having trouble with the volume. Okay.
And so every week we snap pictures when Ms. Darlene or Ms. Lisa are there, and we show it the next week. We promise the kids are going to be on the big screen. And here they are, kids. We kept our promise with you. This is a sample of the next. This is a sample of the little crafts they did. And I had promised them we'd post those pictures. Kids, y'all hang in there. Ms. Lisa and Ms. Darlene and I, we all love you. And we're waiting on you to come back. And they will have plenty of lessons for you whenever we get, whenever we're able to meet again. Now, y'all, Operation Bear Hug. This is something that we started about 5 years ago. This was the idea of our treasurer, Suzanne... Suzanne Colbert McWhorter. I'm sorry, Suzanne. I always get that middle name mixed up. And she's a retired police officer and our pastor at the time, Alan Harkey. And what we do is we collect stuffed animals and deliver them to the Honeyapath Police Department. And the officers keep them in their trunks so when they're on a crime scene and there are children involved, they can take those out and they can give them to the children. And it's a little bit of normalcy, just a little something that can help them through an awful situation. And we are just so blessed that the Honeyapath Police Department has continued their relationship with us, and we're blessed to be able to do it. And we hope to continue that relationship for a long time to come. Matter of fact, hopefully the department will be having their summer camp, and I've already been in touch with the person that's over that, so hopefully we can help be a part of that as well. Our prayer list. Our prayer list is something we feel very strongly about prayer. Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. Prayer works. I know people that are here because of prayer when doctors said they wouldn't be. And this is just a sample of our list. If you have any updates for anyone that's on the list, or if you have anyone that you would like added, please put them in the comments or instant message me. And we would love to add them, and we'd love to pray for them. There's power in prayer. Jesus said, when there are two or more gathered in my name, I'm there. And then, finally, this is the part I have really been kind of stressing over a little bit. Anyone that knows me as a pastor, I don't like to talk about money. I feel that's a very personal thing. Before Lisa and I got involved in ministry, we're really turned off by pastors and evangelists that they're more into sharing the flock than into leading the flock. Right now, almost every church is in a similar situation. There may not be anyone here, but our bills continue. Our rent, our utilities, our insurance. So, and I know times are tough right now for people. If it's laid on your heart from God for you to give an offering, here's our address, our mail-in address for all our regular folks. And we're not set up for electronic giving. We just we're going to leave that up to you. You pray about it and see what you come up with. And we'll just there. And if anyone can't write this down fast enough, please just message me, text me, and we can merely see the one. We can send it out to you. Now, another thing for folks that may not have Facebook, like if you like the message or you want to hear more of my messages from the past, you can go to our website, mygenesischurch.net. And that's mygenesischurch.net. And click on the Meet the Pastor tab. And all of my messages are delivered there. They're voice recorded with title and with the dates. Now, our message today, I was praying about this, about what the Holy Spirit would put on my heart for this week. I didn't know what direction I'd be. Just bear with me, y'all. This is a little different than what we normally do. As a country, we're in a situation we've never faced before. We've had viral outbreaks. We have a flu and cold season every year. But it's nothing like this. We had the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, and that was very severe. But we only had 103 million people living in the country at that time. Now we have over 330 million. And we fly all over the country, trains all over the country. The coronavirus is more aggressive and more lethal than the standard flu. There are a lot of people out of work right now. They're struggling financially, maybe struggling physically and spiritually. Go to a store, and I've had to go out this week. You can feel the uncertainty and the tension in the air, and seeing empty shelves just raises the tension level. And it's natural to turn towards the world, towards the storm, and away from the Word of God. It's natural. It's human nature. As each day went by, the Holy Spirit started showing me someone who was struggling with a major crisis in their lives. And this may be someone that's, the coronavirus aside, there are people who have lost loved ones recently and years ago, and they're still struggling. There are people struggling with addictions out there. There are people struggling with their health. There are people who were already in financial trouble before all this stuff started. There are people who are trying to find out who they are again. So much of our identity can be wrapped up in what we do as to who we are. And there's a lot of folks hurting right now. As I texted and I called and I prayed with these people, I felt like they were soldiers. Imagine a huge battlefield. It's muddy, foggy, and you have just survived a charge from your enemy. You're one of the few standing. And then you see more enemy soldiers coming over the hill. There are a lot of people like that, that they're tired and they don't know what to do. The coronavirus is adding a dense fog of uncertainty to our landscape, physically, spiritually, and financially. Healthcare workers, of which I'm a nurse and a respiratory therapist. My wife is a nurse. My mother-in-law is a nurse. I know so many people that are in the healthcare field. And by healthcare field, it could be someone delivering trays. It could be someone fixing machinery. A hospital works by so many people in so many occupations. Truck drivers. There are store clerks I've been talking to this week that are in first responders. They're all in the line of fire of this virus. Bank workers. People that they're staying open and they're working and they're in the first line of this. I work as a clinical trainer for a company that makes heart monitors and anesthesia machines, as well as being a pastor. I fly usually about 35 weeks out of the year. My coworkers and I are all just we're up in the air right now, figuratively. We're having trouble reaching customers, and the customers are in such, they're struggling right now so much, some of them don't even want us there. And the ones that do, we're trying to figure out how to get to them. And we're not alone. There's a lot of people like that. A lot of people that just, what do we do? By the end of the week, I began to realize the Holy Spirit was showing me people. To some degree, we're all like this. They look okay. They look fine. But on the inside, they feel like they're in a dark sea, the middle of a cloudy night with no land in sight. What do? I'm just floating around out here. I think most of us gotten to a point in our journey where we have to ask, what do we do? We all have plans for our lives. Our son is a 2020 graduate of Belden Honeypath High School. And he posted a picture the other day of him with a mask and protective gear and his cap and gown, saying that he wanted the diploma, not the corona. And it was in fun to help liven up people and help them to smile. That's what he does. He's a good fella. But his plans, the prom, graduation, so many things are up in there, and there's so many people like that. And each of us wants to accomplish certain things in this life. And some of us are able to. They're able to see our plans and dreams become reality. Others are still waiting to see the hopes and the dreams and the plans. Sometimes what we want is right there, and then we have it, and it's gone. In a second, it is gone. There are so many plans that have probably been put on hold, so many ideas, so many things, so many businesses that people have struggled to open up that right now are hanging on by a thread. Our small businesses are just struggling. The coronavirus and the actions taken to slow its spread have created a situation like we've never faced in our country before. I started reading and researching, finding the scripture I'm supposed to use. In the Bible, the Israelites went through trials. This section of scripture we're going to look at today comes from one of the lowest points of Israel's history. They were truly asking, what do we do? And God spoke to prophet Jeremiah. Verse 4, God starts off talking to the folks in exile in Babylon. And some background on this. The Babylonian Empire had destroyed Jerusalem about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. Israel at that point had been split into two countries. The northern part of it had already been destroyed by the Assyrians. This was the last remnant. The pride of Israel, the temple that Solomon had built to God, had been destroyed. Nothing left of it. If you go to Israel now, I think there's a stable left. And that's it. All parts of the temple were destroyed or taken. The Ark of the Covenant, which had been made 800 years before this time, disappeared. All the treasures of the temple gone. Israel had been an independent nation for almost 700 years. That's about 2.5-3 times longer than the United States. All of them were rounded up and carried away from the only life they'd ever known. They were forced to start a new life in a strange place. How do y'all start over? In some ways, we're in a new life. We're in a new, strange situation, and we're trying to figure out what to do. The landscape's similar, but in some ways it's different than it's ever been. God wasn't silent on this, as he spoke through Jeremiah. In verses 5, 6, and 7, he was giving the Israelites instructions about building homes, taking wives, working for the welfare of the place you're at. Babylon's in modern-day Iraq. It's about 60 miles from Baghdad. To give you an idea of the time, the city walls, Herodotus, he was a Greek historian, the city walls were 56 miles round, 320 feet high, 80 feet thick. They were home to one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Jerusalem was roughly about 220 acres. It's kind of like if somebody took the population of our little town and the towns around and dropped us in the middle of New York City. It'd be a major, major adjustment. This is where the Israelites were carried to. Much like them, most of us had times in our lives where we've been yanked from our everyday lives. Losing a job or not being able to do it. Losing a house. Losing a family member. Losing our health and our control and our independence. The little things. And the large things. And in many ways, we're in that situation right now. We're being told where we can go. And it's for the good. But we're being told what we can do, where we can go, The house payments haven't stopped. Our power bills hadn't stopped, and we're just all wondering, what do we do? It can be hard to hear from God that you're expected to settle in and get on with life. Don't you know I'm hurting? Comes to mind. Don't you know how much I have suffered? Every storm, whether it's on the Weather Channel or live, has a beginning, a middle, and an ending. Usually the beginning is caused by some type of disruption in the normal climate. Think about storms in our lives. Some pops up out of the ordinary. Middle, where we feel the full force of this disruption, and we think it's never going to end. And the ending, where the effects of that disruption are over. Right now, we're in the beginning and the middle of this. God's speaking about what to do in the middle of the storm with these verses right now. We still follow a lot of that same wisdom. What happens when the tornado comes? We hunker down. What are we doing right now? We're staying in place. Remember, storms end. Verses 8, 9, and 10. God talks in verses 8 and 9 about false prophets. God's been blamed for a lot of things he's never had anything to do with. There have been, and unfortunately there still are, prophets and pastors who've said they've been led by God to say or do things. This is the ultimate fact check for anyone. If anyone tells you God said this, God said that, if it doesn't go by what's in here, God probably hadn't said it. If something's laid on your heart, look through here. If this is agreeing with what's on your heart, God said it. Holy Spirit's pushing you. It can be really tempting to put, for a pastor, an evangelist, or whoever, to put your own words into these messages. That's why I pray every week that God's words will be heard in the songs and in the messages and not mine. Because I'm fallible. I'm a mess. God's not. God's infallible. God has perfect direction. There have been people who twisted God's word from Genesis to Isaiah to Revelation for their own purposes and feelings, not for God's. And it's natural for many of us to keep God in the trunk, like a spare tire. We're rolling along. We're doing fine. We're in the world. Boom, 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 boom. Then we take him out like a spare tire. Got him in a fix. And I've been guilty of it. I promise whenever people that know me and people that come here, whenever I say we, I mean we, I've been guilty of this. Life gets good, we put him back in the trunk. And I'm sure during this time, during Jeremiah's time, there were a lot of prophets that came up offering the quick fix. Look back on your life. How many life-changing storms were fixed quickly? Then God tells Jeremiah news that really none of the Israelites wanted to hear. When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my word to you to bring you back to this place, talking about Israel. That's hard to swallow, that this is going to take time to get better. But you think about an engineer designing a building and building the building. It takes time to put every piece in place. Now, I can't build anything. Anyone that knows me knows that, but I cook. There are certain things that take time. If you're going to smoke a pork shoulder, it's not done in an hour. It's done in about 10 or 12. It takes time. God didn't forget these people were in a raging storm. He hadn't forgotten us. What he was telling them was that this storm won't end soon, but he hadn't forgotten them. I think we might be being told that this storm's not going to end soon, but he's still here. He is still here. One of the most powerful things that God can put on your heart is to remind you that you have not been forgotten. One of the favorite tools of the devil is to make you think you're alone. How many of us have been there? I have, where I felt like I've been the only person in the world that understood how I was, not realizing that knocking I was hearing, that was Jesus. I wasn't alone. I just had to let him in. Right now, we're doing what we have to do to prepare for what God has planned for us. If you're willing to seek his will for us, for each of us. And God has a will for each of us. He has a plan for each of us. Now, this verse 11 is one of the most beautiful, encouraging verses ever written. It is on diplomas. It's on picture frames. It's on coffee cups. It's on so many things. However, a lot of people didn't read the earlier verses where it said, you're going to have to wait a while before this comes to pass. But I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, but to give you hope in the future. God's never said our lives would be on the easy street. Never. You look at all the major figures of the Bible, all of them struggle. He does say that he knows the plans he has for each of us, even as rain and lightning of this storm are coming down on us, and we can't see 3 foot in front of us. Even as we close the doors on buildings temporarily, or maybe on a career permanently, maybe on a marriage, maybe on a relationship, maybe on our health, God's here. We put our blood and sweat and tears into these things like the Israelites put so much effort into the lives they had built in Israel. Verse 12, God talks about calling on me. Pray to me. God places an importance on prayer. I personally believe we need to as well. There are 650 different prayers in the Bible. Jesus prayed 25 different times over the four Gospels. There are 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. In the Bible, Paul mentions prayer 41 times. That's significance. In today's world, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people who attend church regularly, even before these doors were closed. Sometimes there are some pastors that don't even pray regularly. Prayer is our way to talk to God and a way for him to answer. God was encouraging the Israelites to pray diligently. And that's just to pray with honesty and persistence. If you feel like something's missing in your life, follow the word from the prophet Jeremiah. Pray to God. Be honest. Be explicit. Why am I going through this? What is wrong? What is happening? I don't understand this. If you're mad, tell God you're mad. It's all right. I struggled for a long time after losing someone, after losing my daughter, and I was mad at God, and he drove me away from him. And I finally talked to him about being mad and angry. Even the best parents, you get angry at them sometimes. Talk to him. God didn't want to see us fail. He doesn't want to see us to follow what he says is right. Sometimes there are people that blame God for their situations. God didn't put you in the mess you're in. There's a whole lot of misery that's in this world that this world wasn't meant for. There's a whole lot of misery. We do need to be reminded, though, that things may not necessarily happen when we desire them to happen. You pray to God, I want this fixed, and then start looking at your watch. It doesn't work that way. God has a timing in things that we don't understand, and we won't understand in this world. God's plans for our lives are better than our dreams will ever be, though. When Jeremiah starts in verse 13, and he talks about seeking me and you'll find me when you search with all your heart. How many of us have held back when we pray? We want to be nice when we're talking to God. And I understand that. It's kind of like we want God in our living room, but we don't want him in that spare bedroom that we've been trying to unpack for 10 years. Where all the unmatched socks and the boxes and the Christmas stuff we never put in the attic is at. We want him to help us with our current problem, but not guide our lives. To fulfill his plans for us. I call it the God pizza. You order it. I want extra grace. No accountability. It don't work like that. Why do we want that? It can be really uncomfortable to let God into our whole spiritual house. The dirty corners. The thoughts we don't like to think about in public. The thoughts we'd never mention. God already knows they're there. When we see him and we talk to him, sometimes it's like trying to find an excuse for a principle. We hadn't got to that daily scripture reading. We hadn't got to that daily prayer, but we got good reasons, though. He's God. He sees it. He loves us. We're a mess. Those people 2,600 years ago were a mess. He loved them, and he promised them, I will bring you home. This storm will end. He knew and loved them all, just like a sinner, saint, it doesn't matter. He's in our lives every moment of every day, and he's wanting us to seek him in prayer and word, to let him give us his plans for us. When we do that, in verse 14, God says, I'll be found by you. I'll restore your fortunes. I will gather you from the nations and from the places I've scattered you. I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile. God kept his promise. He brought the Israelites home. It wasn't soon. He brought them home, though. All storms end. Whether it's a thunderstorm, whether it's a virus outbreak, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's a spiritual disaster, storms end. God is there with us. Just like he was with those Israelites in a foreign, godless country. He helped them survive and thrive in that environment. He kept his promise to those people and he returned them to Israel. It's hard work for them to rebuild, but God was there with them. Right now, we're struggling with a lot of hard work and we're struggling with a lot of uncertainty, but if you don't come away with anything else, be certain God's here. Talk to him. Tell him your fears. Ask him for his plans for us. Talk to him. Put this country up in prayer. Put your family, your friends, put all these people in these hospitals, out here behind these trucks, these local businesses, these police officers, firemen, paramedics, the grocery store clerks. They all need our prayer right now. Continue to strive for the best and include God in every part of our lives. Don't forget, our job is to seek God's face and be led by the Holy Spirit as we're directed to follow God's plans for our lives. True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in cases of emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you'll be in practice. That was a quote from Reverend Billy Graham. I want to end with this before we go in prayer. Another quote by Reverend Graham. Have you ever said, well, all we can do now is pray? When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, much like the ancient Israelites, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do next. Father, help us all to seek your will for us and to hold on to your promises. And Father, help us to reach out beyond these walls, even if we are in because your church is made up of people. Where, as Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, I am there. Father, being your hands and feet may be calling someone. It may be texting someone. It may be checking on that elderly neighbor. It may be the smallest of things to us, but it will mean so much to them. Father, it may be just something that right now I wouldn't understand, but you would understand if you put it on someone's heart. Father, help us to recognize that. And Father, help us and help this country. Father, we lift it all up in prayer. We stand in the gap for this land, Father, praying for it, that you will restore it. Father, let your words be heard in this message, not mine. Let it go to the hearts of the people that are listening to this. Let it make light. A light in their hearts, light in their lives. That's the only thing that will ever get rid of the darkness in this world. The light's the only thing that can drive it out, and only your light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, I was thinking about a benediction, and normally we have, like I said, we have music and things like that, but this is kind of a condensed version. Benediction, some of you look at my devotional post I have during the week on Facebook, and I've used a couple of these verses several times. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace I'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Please send us any feedback. We'd like to improve this, and we would really like to continue this as part of our normal service. If there are any folks out there that might be shut in and can't come to church, please let us know. And thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be back the same time next Sunday, 10:30. God bless you.